started, I know for whatever reason for foundations, they might be rolling in about 15 months after or whatever. There's hot dogs out there, and we're gonna talk, and Clint's gonna preach for an hour, so we gotta go ahead and get this started. I never thought about that on the way home. I was like, man, Clint's gonna be excited when he hears about the hot dog, but he's still gonna preach for an hour. we're going to open up in prayer. Karen did this, that you normally keep score, is that right?
That's fine.
Okay, so I'll probably get my memory refreshed on how we do the age categories, how Richard Stoney does it for this, because I think it's different than we do Bible school, but not that it matters, because I have to look at my cheat sheet for Bible school anyway, so.
It starts 1 to 10.
Okay.
It's the first grade.
1 to 10, okay. But we'll go ahead and open prayer. Brother Glenn, would you pray for us, please?
Dear kind Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, we thank you today that you have given us another opportunity to come to thy house, Lord, and the moment thy word, Lord, has kept us united in our heart, we may not sin against thee, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon this service today, Heavenly Father, to live more in your honor, dear Father, and give each one of your heart by the Holy Spirit, God, that we can make with him, Heavenly Father, we thank you for it, Lord, and thank you for all the ones that you make the scripture blessed upon, Father, thank you, Lord, for all worship.
No, in all seriousness, looking very much forward to what Brother Clint has for us this evening. Very, very important subject. And it's one where, you know, especially those of us that are my age, definitely the ones that are older, you think, man, how many million times have I heard this in my life? Well, the thing is, there's new people coming to the church all the time. And I think one of the problems that some churches, especially established churches, especially in our circles, have had over the years, is you just kind of have this assumption that everybody knows stuff. And then you end up with whole generations of kids that grow up and, like, they don't know the reasons why we do the things that we do, which is the whole thing, I think, behind Richard Stoney starting this study. So it's very, very important. And I know we enjoyed going over it with our kids, but we will start with our Bible drill. So I know the first category is 1 to 10, and I think he normally does 3, right? There's 3 for each category. Okay, so we've got Solace. Slipping in under the wire. All right, so you've been with us before. You know how this works, don't you? Well, I'll read a reference and jump up and start reading. And whoever begins first, it's whoever begins first reading the correct verse. Sometimes we'll have somebody that like speed reads through and it's like, oh, it's fine. You don't have to finish first. You just have to start first. The older ones, sometimes they all stand up, but y'all younger ones don't got to stand up. Y'all's legs didn't break. You got to stand up. Okay, so ages 1 to 10. One digit. Then I try to find some verses that are 5 pages long. Okay, Luke 18:36. Watch and see how far she was turning in their Bible and get a head start. I totally did that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
Yes. Okay, so one more for ages 1 to 10. Acts chapter 22, verse 7. You have to actually find them there, even though.
Cooper, 17.
Yeah, Cooper and Savannah, 17.
Okay, cool, yeah, yeah, so we got, we got.
And then wait for.
Whitney, you got this. You can beat this. I've seen them be Bible drill. I think you can do it. I'm encouraging you, come on.
Is that what I'm hearing? So 11 to 17, first one. Get some good stuff here. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 15. Isaiah 8, 15.
And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken.
Correct. Okay, number two, still for 11 to 17. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 38. 1 Kings 20, 38.
But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building.
Yes. Okay, so what's our next category there?
18 to 40.
18 to 40.
18 to 40. Okay. 18 to 40. This will be the first one for that category. Proverbs 11, 16. Proverbs 11, 16.
And a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches.
Yes. Okay, here will be the second one. 2 Corinthians 6, 5. 2 Corinthians 6, 5.
I speak to your shame, but that's what's
happening. Instruction in prison.
Sorry.
Yes,
I know.
I'm just going to start staying up right away. That's why I'll say the word.
Be like, Glenn, yeah. Just stand up and say, and. Okay, I got one more. One more for that category. What was that? 18 to 40? 40. 18 to 40. Jeremiah 19, verse 8. Jeremiah 19, verse 8.
And I will make this city desolate. And the hissing, and the hissing, everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and hissed because of all the plagues thereof.
Yes. Okay, so I guess now it'd be 41 to what?
60. But you might as well say, you might as well go up to 60 and just do everybody for six more verses.
Okay.
Because it's 41 to 60 and then 61 to whatever.
Okay.
I mean,
we could just put them in Jerry
and
each other.
And Terry.
On Terry?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
well,
you got
we can do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's it. I forgot that you wanted that young priest.
They might not be as fast as us younger ones.
Say that again.
She how many points do you have?
let me see here. Oh, is his name here? One.
I said they might not be as fast as the younger ones, but I don't. Yeah, it's, never mind. Just never mind.
You're just digging it deeper.
Yeah.
Stuff.
41 to 60. All right. Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. Psalm 41:5.
Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish?
See?
Got three.
All right, one more for 4160. Numbers 30 and verse 2. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. Okay, so now we have everybody that wasn't in those categories.
Antique people.
I don't know the definition of antique is getting younger, apparently. Mark chapter 11, verse 17. Mark chapter 11, verse 17.
Purple mic. Okay. It's already on.
Well, good evening. Today's question is, what is the purpose of baptism? It's on my heart pretty heavy because I didn't realize this until a man that I know, and well, my uncle lives in Virginia, we went to visit with him, and he began to tell me what he believed what baptism was, and he was very much wrong in what he believed. So I thought it was very important to stress why we believe what we believe. And I was a little bit, just just shocked at how much I looked into and studied that many people are not biblical in knowing why we believe in baptism, believers' baptism. But I thank God for the opportunity to be here with you guys tonight. And thank the Lord for your pastor. He's a dear friend of mine.
Yes.
And he said it before, he's a hard friend to have, and I'm a difficult friend to have as well. I gave him a hard time. He called me the other day and he said, really ain't many people I left behind my pulpit while I was gone. And I'm going to give a little bit of a hard time, keep him on his toes. But I love my friend, and I thank God for him. He's encouraged me more than anything. You as a church, I can say this in here, you need to respect your pastor.
Yes.
I believe with all my heart he is God's man for this place.
Yes.
I believe with all my heart he loves you more than any other man could because God has put him in this place.
Hey.
And we'll begin first off in prayer. And God will just have a blessing. Lord, we thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that you would just have your way and will. God, help us, Lord, to glean from your word and to understand, have a deeper understanding, God. I pray that you'd open up our hearts, our minds, to be attentive to your word. God, just touch these children, touch these adults. God, just touch all of us and help us, Lord, as only you can. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. So the question is, why? What is the purpose of baptism? We'll begin with over here.
What is the purpose of baptism? For that, I have, Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Going down in the water represents you being buried with him, and coming back out of the water represents us being resurrected from the dead with him.
I had Mark 16:16, which is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark tells us that baptism goes along with being saved. I also have Romans 6:4, and it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Romans tells us what baptism symbolizes. Going down in the water symbolizes our old body being buried with Christ, and coming up from the water symbolizes our new inner man and later resurrected with Christ.
It talks about this baptism.
So what I actually thought about is, and I told my daughters this, I was really hoping that most people would have pretty much the same scriptures, because there's a handful of scriptures that just really zero in on it. So this actually came up when we were reading for our Bible readings leading up to the resurrection, the verse that Hannah mentioned in Mark. I wanted to kind of look at it from the other point of view of what baptism is not. You know, and you can explain what it is by telling what it's not. Some people have taken that verse in Mark, where it says there, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, to mean that one cannot be saved without baptism. But even in that very verse, it doesn't say he that is not baptized shall be damned. It says he that believeth not. So baptism is not something that adds to our salvation or that is a required part for us to be saved, and there's so many. I mean, I know you know, we can spend all night reading the scriptures and talk about what being saved is, but one of the things that I thought of that really exemplified what Mark is trying to tell us is the account of the Philippian jailer being saved in Acts chapter 16. And we know how it was at Paul and Silas. They were singing at midnight, and the earthquake came, and the jailer woke up. He thought everybody was escaped, and he was getting ready to kill himself. And Paul called out and said, hey, no, it's all right. You know, we're all here. And the Bible says in Acts 16:29, and he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Nowhere did Paul mention that he had to be baptized to be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. That is, the jailer did that to Paul and Silas, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Well, why were they baptized? The next verse continues to say, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So we see that really it's the idea that salvation and baptism just go together like bread and butter. You know, a man gets saved, he wants to be baptized in obedience to the Lord. And I want to finish up with just a few verses out of the book of Galatians. Paul was writing this letter here to a bunch of people who were getting caught up in the idea that there had to be works, you know, to go along with their salvation. And that's really, you know, baptism is a work. It's one that's ordained by God, but that's what it is. But he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I've learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? So Paul makes it clear here, talking to the Galatians, that there was no work of the flesh that brought the Holy Spirit to them, but rather it was the work of Jesus Christ in them.
Well, the purpose of baptism, it symbolizes our identification with Christ's death and resurrection. It's our declaration of faith and our commitment to a new life in Christ when we get saved and baptized. It's a symbol of our obedience, representing our faith and death of our sin, to bury our old life and to resurrect our new life. And our new life in Christ, it's a forgiveness of our sins and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And this emphasizes the necessity of both physical birth and spiritual rebirth in being born of the Spirit. And Matthew 3:13-17, even Jesus was baptized. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But, you know, John did not feel adequate to baptize Jesus. And to me, that's touching. I shouldn't be baptized of you, you should be baptized of me.
Amen.
But that's just the blessing scripture right there.
Amen.
Baptism symbolizes spiritual purification and rebirth. It represents the washing away of sins and the beginning of a new life in Christ. It is also a way of publicly showing that you've accepted Jesus' gift of salvation. However, baptism does not save you. The Bible is clear about that in Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is by faith through grace that we are saved, not baptism.
I got Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen. Also we are risen with him through the faith of operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And baptism is something we do that represents Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And I draw another verse. It says, so it's Mark 1:4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Be baptized to show other people that God saved you.
For my answer for the question, what is the purpose of baptism, I put, the purpose of baptism is to show a public profession of faith as seen in Romans 6:3-5, which has been read already. And we even get a commandment from God himself saying we are to be baptized in Matthew 28:19, as everybody knows, the Great Commission. And our choice to do this shows our commitment to follow Christ and willingness to be obedient to him. However, baptism does not save you. It is just an outward expression of an inward conversion.
Yes.
And for Savannah's answer, she put that it was a symbol, that it is a symbolic of the death to the old life and a new life in Christ. A believer's public declaration of their faith and following of Jesus Christ is also a believer's identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Okay, mine on baptism is observance. An observance signifying a believer's cleansing from sin through Christ's atoning death. John the Baptist baptized converts to signify their repentance. Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River to fulfill all righteousness and to set an example for us. The Father's approval of Jesus' baptism was expressed by the descent of the Holy Spirit and a voice from heaven. And in the New Testament, the Gentiles who received the Holy Spirit were promptly baptized. Then they converted over and got saved, they went ahead and baptized. And Christians' baptism memorializes the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. For the believer's baptism is a testimony of faith and a pledge to walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. I got some scripture there to read goes along with that. Matthew 3:6-8. Starting verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meant for repentance. To me, when I read this scripture, their heart wasn't right for repentance. They didn't come for repentance. And then it was already read. Ms. Terry read 3:13-15 about Jesus come to be baptized there, and John wanted to be baptized beside him. And then in Mark 1:9-11 says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, that thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Then in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 48, says, while Peter yet speak these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry many days. Then in Romans chapter 6, starting verse 3 and 14, says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that at, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I go back to that verse, these verses there. For the believer, baptism is a testimony of faith and a pledge to walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sure did. Amen. Some great answers. I think everybody's right on the right track. A lot of scripture that we heard was very much what should have been used. And I believe that we also find an account in Acts. I don't remember hearing anybody mention Acts chapter 8. Did anybody mention that? Acts chapter number 8. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter number 8. But we get a reading in verse number 29.
Preacher, you can use a pulpit mic if you want to.
Yeah, I feel a little less Pentecostal that way. Take me on the right subject. Verse number 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? I want you to notice this verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Hey.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Yeah. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. I want to look and realize tonight that the reason we do baptize is to show the symbolism of a new life.
Yeah.
I believe as we are saved, as we have faith in Jesus, and we're given the faith by God Himself. It's a free gift of salvation. There ain't nothing in and of it that can be earned or merited, nothing in it that can be worked for or prospered for. But it is a very much divine gift from God, and everything in the package is there included for you to be saved. The faith, I believe God gives us faith, and all we have to do is accept the free gift. There's nothing more, nothing less. We overcomplicate this thing of salvation, trying to figure out what to do to be saved. Let me tell you, I didn't know anything about any kind of doctrine. I didn't know a whole lot about theology. I didn't know anything much about anything other than the fact that I needed to be born again. That's the only thing I knew. And I knew Jesus was the answer to every problem I had. I knew Jesus was the cure to my sin sickness. I realized myself as a lost sinner on my way to a devil's hell one day, and God just revealed Himself to me. And as I sat there, I remember beginning to feel that I needed to have Jesus Christ, and I needed to believe upon Him. It wasn't anything that I could have done. Amen. There wasn't nothing that I could have done to earn salvation. It's not of works. It's by grace through faith that we are saved. We are saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip here, he was guiding the eunuch here. He's guiding him and teaching him through the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And he's showing him that the whole chapter is concerning Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came for one purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save that which was lost, those that were sick and those that needed a Savior. And the only reason we get baptized is to show that our obedience to God in being baptized, showing that we pass from death unto life. We are baptized because we are showing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said by many here tonight. I think all of the scripture here is very evident. There are many perversions, and I believe in the King James Bible. I'm going to tell you why. This is a reason why. Because a lot of the new versions, a lot of the things, they take this verse out. They take out verse number 37. They put it down as a footnote. But let me tell you something. The Word of God is inspired. We're not to take away from it. We're not to add to it. Just leave it alone and let it speak for itself. In verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. What the eunuch was wondering, he said, well, here's water. What's hindering me? What's stopping me from being baptized? He said, here's some water. But he's saying it's much more than just water. The water cannot wash away your sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And only through the blood that you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe that right there is very much where it needs to be. And a lot of people like to take that out because they've got a better understanding, they think mentally, than God. Let me tell you something. God knows more than any of us. And I believe He had that inspired in His Word for a reason. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Salvation had to precede baptism. Salvation, you must be born again. In John's Gospel, we're all familiar with it. But if anybody comes to you, and the reason I was being so burdened about this, I had a man that says he's a preacher, come to me, and told me that it was baptism that washed away sin. And I will tell you, that is not true.
That's right.
It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that washes and cleanses from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
John 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Yeah.
And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He wasn't saying being born of water in baptism. He was saying being born the first time and then being born the second time. You must be born again.
Yeah.
Verse number 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What he's saying is, if you're born once, you'll die twice. You're born once, you'll go to hell and burn for all eternity. But if you're born twice, you only have to die once because you'll go to heaven and live forever and ever. And even then, you won't have to die. You'll just pass from here to there. I believe God's angel. I believe God will come. And I believe He'll transport us on over to eternity.
Yeah.
But I believe in all my heart that we must be born again.
Amen.
That is the cure. That is the reason that God sent His Son. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We see that word "believeth." God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God."
Yeah.
This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Church, I want to tell you tonight that the only reason anybody can be baptized is because of the inner work that God Himself can only do. When God comes and convicts you and He saves you, that's a work that God does. It's not anything we do, it's what God does.
Yes.
And when God does a work like that, I don't believe you'll be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe there's going to be something inside of you that says, "You know what, as the world's identifying with sin, and identifying with this, and identifying with that, I as a Christian am going to identify with Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Not only in the life that Jesus lived, let me tell you, I identify with the death that He died.
Yeah.
I identify with the burial that He was buried. And I identify, praise God, with the resurrection that He rose again the third day.
Amen.
I believe the gospel is the power unto salvation.
Amen.
That's it. There's nothing more to add to that.
Yeah.
You can't add anything to what Jesus did.
That's right.
To save your soul. There's nothing you can possibly, if I had anything to do with my salvation as far as the work of it, I believe I'm saved by works, but it's His work, by the way.
Yeah.
But I want to remind you, I don't believe there's anything that I can do to work myself unto salvation.
Right.
I just believe with all my heart, as I got saved, I knew that I wanted to be baptized.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted everybody to know I didn't change. I'm not the man I used to be.
Yeah.
You know what I believe? That's the greatest testimony any man can have, is to go and be baptized, because that does represent Christ. It represents His death, burial, and resurrection. But I also believe it represents the inner work of God. It represents the old man being dead. Behold, if any old man, I believe the verse there is, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature."
Yeah.
Behold, old things are new. Old things are passed away, but behold, all things have become new.
Yeah.
The Lord knows my heart. I'm trying not to butcher that verse, but my mind's only ever wrote down up here. Y'all pray for me.
Yeah.
And I tell you, as we become new in Christ, we represent Him.
Yeah.
When we're baptized, we're raised up into the likeness of Christ, and we're to live the life. Are we going to sin? Are we going to fall short of the glory of God? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that ought not be your desire. You ought not be proud about it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says in Romans chapter 6.
Yeah.
He said, God forbid.
Yeah.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you say you're saved, if you say you've been born again, why would you want to continue living in the sin that God saved you from? Know ye not. Notice that. He says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death.
Yeah.
I don't see anything about being baptized in the water there. Is we're baptized into Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That word baptized, by the way, that means submersion. immersion into the water.
Yeah.
These guys are sprinkling. I don't believe that that's right. I don't think that's biblical. I don't believe in the new Church of Acts. I don't believe they sprinkled anybody.
No.
They fully submersed them.
Yeah.
Because that showed, that represented death
in
the sin.
Yeah.
Now, that's not something that's very popular in this day.
Right.
To preach on death to sin. But Paul was not ashamed to get up and preach it. And I thank God for men like that.
Yeah.
That said it just like it was. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Remember the death of the cross, the death of Jesus, that was about 3 hours, I believe it was, of darkness. Yeah. Don't forget about that 3 hours of darkness. We don't preach that often enough. But that 3 hours of darkness was really the picture of God Almighty the Father turning his back on God the Son because of the sin of mankind. Not the sin of Jesus, but the sin of you and the sin of I that was placed upon his back. He was up there on the cross, and God could not look upon sin. He could not, have fellowship with his own Son because Jesus, who knew no sin, he became sin and died for all the sin. Don't forget about that 3 hours of darkness, Lou.
Yeah.
And don't forget about the shame that our Savior bore on the cross.
Yeah.
Every time you sin, you ought not look at it like, well, I'm under grace, I'm all right, it's okay. Because it cost our Lord and
Savior. That's right.
It cost him stripes.
Yeah.
It cost him his life. He was beaten. But that separation, I think of anxiety and all these things that we go through in life, some depression that maybe we fall into sometimes. You can't help it. You can't do anything about it. But I believe Jesus felt every bit of the pain anybody's ever felt.
Yeah.
And
much,
much more.
Yeah.
And that 3 hours of darkness, I believe he took upon him this condemnation of the wrath of God.
Yeah.
And I believe that he died that death to pay for our sin as our substitute.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, baptized in Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life.
Yeah.
I'm not being legalist here. I'm preaching the Word of God. It says that we should walk in newness of life. There should be something evident in your life that points everyone around you to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I believe so much that baptism is the first step of obedience to the ordinance of God.
Yeah.
To be submerged, to believe and identify with Christ.
Yeah.
If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Ain't that good?
Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't stop at the death.
Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't stop at the burial. He said, also in the likeness of his resurrection. What? Let me tell you something. We just celebrated Easter. What did we learn from that? That Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive, and he's well tonight. He's alive making intercession for you and for me. And if Jesus is alive, we are also in the likeness of his resurrection. What does that mean? We're alive.
Yeah.
We have eternal life. Jesus offers life. And we ought to be displaying life, not death. Death is always associated with sin.
Yeah.
Hell is always associated with sin. Death, hell, and the grave is all the reason. The reason that's even existing is because of sin.
Yeah.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we've been dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. I love that word, once. He didn't have to die over and over again.
That's right.
Let me just go ahead and say this. Let me go ahead and nip this in the bud. You don't have to be saved but one time.
That's right.
Once Jesus died for your sin, and once you must believe upon him.
Yeah.
I love that word once there.
Yeah.
For in that he died unto sin once. If you could be lost and you could be saved and lost and saved, that would mean Jesus had to go to the cross over and over and over again.
But his death, one time, was sufficient for all of humanity, for every sin. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Among that, let not sin therefore reign. There ain't none of us without sin.
That's right.
But if you can go through your life and it's okay with you to continue in sin, and you don't have any kind of, tug in your heart, you don't have any chastening of God in your life to show you that you're wrong, that's not very evident that you've ever passed from death unto life.
Yeah.
I believe when we sin, it breaks God's heart.
Yeah.
And because of that, it ought to break our heart.
Yeah.
I believe so much now that we've kind of put everything under grace to the point where we don't really realize that sin holds us back.
Yeah.
And that sin that we don't confess, that we must agree with God about a thing called sin. And it must not have dominion over us.
Hey.
And sin, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I like that verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace.
Yeah.
I say amazing grace right there.
Amen.
What the law could not do for me, Jesus did much more.
Yeah.
Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I'm talking about when I was lost and undone, and I was living a wicked life. Hey, I ought not be doing the same things I used to do. I ought not be living the same way I used to live. And in baptism, I come and I identify as one with Christ. That's a very bold statement.
Yeah.
I'm with Christ. I identify with Him. But I want to live. People living any way they want. Do you not realize you're not your own? You're bought with
right.
He bought you with His own precious blood. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, the servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I'm glad we go on farther on down in verse 23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
It's so simple. Believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess. Confess. Romans 10, 9,
yeah.
and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yeah.
I don't see baptism there.
Yeah, that's right.
I just see faith.
Yeah.
Faith. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism, reason, purpose, is to display what God has done in your life. It's to display what God has done in His life, in His death, in His resurrection. And I believe with all my heart, you must be born again, pass from death into life. And I believe as soon as you get saved, I don't believe you'll have to hold it back and try to be secretive about it. I don't believe you'll be ashamed of it. I believe somebody today ought to stand up and say, thank God I'm saved. Because of what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
So much, I believe people are ashamed. I believe wholeheartedly people ought to have a desire, as you get saved, to be baptized.
Yeah.
But I don't know about hearing these things. And you hear a lot of times in churches, I've heard it before, in some of our Baptist churches. Hey, when I went to the river to get baptized, I got saved. No. No, you better have more than water.
Yeah, yeah.
You better have more than water. You better have the blood.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's all I have tonight. I wonder this evening if God's spoken to you, if you're lost. If God's spoken to you, tug on your heart, would you come and ask Christ into your life? The gospel's been preached here today. I believe that it is pointed unto all men once to die. After this, the judgment. We're all going to stand before God one day. You better know that you know that you're going to heaven. It's not your righteousness. It's His righteousness. And I thank God. If you are lost and undone, if you want to come to this altar and pray, if you just want to thank God, these altars are open. I think you can open them. They've been open since I got here. As far as I know, they don't ever close.
Hey.
If you need to do business with God, I'm going to give you opportunity. I don't want to rush out there.
Right.
I miss God. Maybe you're saved and you just say, I sure could do better. I sure could ask God to give me some help to identify with Christ. People need to see godliness in us. They need to see godliness. Our Father, we come to you this evening. Once again, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for God baptism. Thank you for salvation that we can be baptized. God, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that I'm saved. I thank God for your people. Thank God for this church. Lord, thank you for the pastor here and his family. What a blessing they are. God, I pray that you just give them a refreshing time. God, be with them. Help them find some peace. And God, help them just to relax and enjoy their stay. God, let them enjoy the days and not be bothered. I pray, God, you just help to be very much refreshing to them. God, I pray that you just touch this church. Just help, Lord, your people. And God, I thank you so much, Lord, for just being able to be here tonight with your people. God, in your presence. I pray, Lord, just do what you will with this word, God. I pray, Lord, that you would, God, advance your kingdom. You would help, God, the hearts and lives of people. Help the young people to understand. God, help us, Lord, to proclaim if anyone comes to us with false doctrine, that we would stand upon your truth. And God, not waver from it. God, just have your way and will. We'll give you honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
About the fact that, you know, when we get these questions, especially, you know, those of us that have younger children, well, what does that do? That challenges us to get in the Word, to teach them, right? We're not, you know, some of the teenagers, it might be a little bit different. Obviously, I know if y'all have a question, you ask your mom and dad, they're going to help you with it, right? Like, I know that. But, like a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, you're not just going to send them off by yourself, by themselves, and be like, oh, just do the best you can, I guess. I mean, you know, we let them give it a go at first, but then we get together and we talk about it. So that challenges us to get in the Word and be able to teach them. And what was basically every night of our youth revival about? What did Preacher Kearns preach about? Us older ones being able to pass on to them what God has given us. And then an encouragement to the young people that says, well, whether somebody does that or not, you know, stick with God anyway. Right? So this has been a great blessing. I really appreciate that, Brother Clint. And so we'll go ahead. If there's nothing else that needs to be said or done this evening, I guess what we'll do is go ahead and ask the blessing on the food. And that way, you know, when we get over there, we don't have to kind of try to regather everybody. I know it's a little bit tight over there, and it's kind of hard to get everybody all together all at once. So if everybody will stand, please. Brother Scott, would you ask the blessing on the food for us?
Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, for looking over us, taking care of us, and bringing us back here again. Just thank you for the food we're about to eat. Bless those that prepared it for us, and just go with us the rest of this day. Take care of us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.